You are listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray that you will be blessed with the teaching of God's word. For more sermons, visit sunlife.org.au.
That guy on the screen, he's a good-looking man, don't you reckon? You know, during the week, actually the last 2 weeks, my boys have been so excited about Easter, especially my younger son, my middle child, Cameron. He's like asking me, Dad, I can't believe it's Easter. I can't believe it's Easter. When is Easter? And I'm like, well, it's going to be another 8 days. Of course, a few days passes by and he's like, Dad, I can't believe it's Easter. I'm so excited for Easter. When is Easter? And I'm like, maybe another 5 days. And this has gone throughout the whole week. And just a few days ago, he's like, Dad, I am so excited. I can't wait for Easter. I can't believe this weekend is Easter. And I'm like, this is amazing. My son can't wait for the weekend because he knows it's Easter. So like any good dad, any curious dad, I'm asking, hey, Cameron, why are you so excited? I mean, why are you so passionate about Easter? Can you tell Dad why? And he's like, I get to sing on stage and play with the drums. And of course, we've got that little item towards the end. And I'm like, it's not the answer I'm hoping to hear. I'm going, could this be like a future theologian? Has he got a good theology of the Bible? So I asked him again. Yeah, Cameron, I know that's a good reason why you're so excited for Sunday. You get to sing on stage in front of a huge crowd, playing the drums. But is there another reason why you can't wait for Easter? And this is his second reply. Now, I've been told there's a bouncy castle and we get to go out after the church and jump and I can't wait. This is the conversation I'm having with my son during the week. So it breaks my heart again. So deep inside, I'm going, third time lucky. I'm going to ask him one more time. I'm going to ask my son one more time, Cameron, those two reasons, buddy, they're great reasons. But what's the real reason why you really, really love Easter? And I'm still praying. I'm still hoping. I'm waiting for that answer that I'm praying for. And this is his third reply. This is my son's third reply. Dad, I can't wait for Easter because there's going to be lots of chocolate eggs. I kid you not. That was a conversation. There's going to be lots of chocolate eggs and I get to look for them and I can eat all these chocolate eggs and I can't wait because Easter is this Sunday. Now, I must agree, those reasons are pretty good reasons to be excited for Easter. Maybe it's the extra couple of days off work. That's a good reason why we're all happy and excited that we get to sleep in tomorrow. Yes, maybe it's a license to eat the extra grams or kilograms of chocolate. They're all good reasons. But let me say this, that Easter Sunday is a celebration because it points to the work that was commenced on Friday. Now listen carefully. All the things that took place on Friday is meaningless unless something took place on Sunday. That's the reason why this day is so important for the Christian on the Christian calendar. I would dare say that this day is more important than Christmas Day. Because Christmas finds its meaning at Easter. If there is no Easter, Christmas is nothing. This day here is a very important day. It is the day in the Christian calendar. It is the most important day, far more, listen carefully, far more important than Good Friday, and I will explain why. This day is a very important day because it marks the completion of what was started on Friday. Have you ever started a project? Have you ever maybe started to restore an old antique table or chair? How would you know that it's completed? Have you ever learnt how to dance or a musical instrument? How would you know that you've completed the lessons? Have you ever tried to buy something from IKEA and you're given the flat packs and you have to assemble it? How do you know that you've completed the task? You know because you get to enjoy it at the end. You know, I go to IKEA, and a few years ago, I'm doing a kitchen renovation, and I'm buying all these flat packs. These are the cabinets, base cabinets, wall cabinets. How do I know that I've completed what I started? Because at the end of the day, I get to enjoy it. How do we know that what started on Friday was accomplished? We know that Jesus came with a mission to die on the cross for us. We know, because if you were here on Friday night, you know that Jesus came to die in your place and my place so that we may live. Jesus was born into this world with a mission to die. That's it. He came with a purpose to live a pure life, a holy life, so that in his death we may live. But how do we know that what took place on Friday was satisfying to the Father's demand? Something must have taken place on Sunday. Let me read some Bible passage with you. If you have your Bible, otherwise it's on the screen behind me. Matthew 20. It reads this. The Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified, which means death, die. And on the third day, he will be raised to life. Luke 18, 32, 33. He will be delivered over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, spit on him, and they will flog him and kill him. But on the third day, he will rise again. And Matthew 12, 40. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. You see that? It is so important for us to understand that what was commenced on Friday, going to the cross, dying for our sins, taking away all our sins, dying in our place to make things right between us and God. All of those things will only mean something to us if the resurrection took place on Sunday. If the resurrection never took place on Sunday, listen carefully, all the work that was done on Friday is pointless. We rejoice not because he's alive and we get to worship a God who is alive. That's great. Don't get me wrong. That's the great thing about being a Christian, that we get to worship a God who's alive. All the other gods, all the other religions, their God's dead. Our God is alive. But we rejoice because the resurrection is a sign that what was commenced on Friday was accomplished, completed for you and I. That's why we get excited. Not because it's a public holiday, not because it's the Easter egg, not because it's a bouncy castle. It's because the fact that what was started on Friday was accomplished for you and I. He died so that we may live. And we only know that because he rose on the third day. It reminds me of the story of the gold rush, the gold fever in America. In the East Coast, there was a family, and the father said to the wife and his son, his only son, that, look, I'm going towards the West Coast, up towards California, San Francisco way, to look for gold. And I will go first. And when I find success, I will get you guys to come over and join me, and we'll be reunited as a family. So the wife thought it was a good idea, so she farewelled her husband, and he headed off And it wasn't that long until he found success and he started finding gold, and then he realized he had enough money to get his family, his wife and son, to come over. So he told her, come on, come and join me now. So she and the son went to New York, hopped on the Pacific steamer, and sailed from New York all the way to San Francisco. It wasn't long on the journey when fire broke out. Fire ran. People were saying, fire, we've got to leave. The captain knew that there was a section near the engine of the boat that had gunpowder. And he knew that if the fire managed to get to that particular part of the boat, every man, every woman, every child will perish instantly. So he thought, let's get everyone onto these lifeboats. So they all got into the lifeboats. But what he didn't realize was that there were too many people, and these lifeboats were filling up so quickly, and there was one lifeboat left, one last one, and it's already full now. And the mother and the son weren't on the boat yet, so she cried out to the captain, please, let us get onto the boat. We need to be in the boat. We need to go and reunite with my husband, his father, in the West Coast. The captain said, no, we can't, because it's full. We can't accept you. We can't get you on the boat. She pleaded one last time, please, let us on. If not, one of us. Do you think she leapt on the boat and left her son to die? No. She seized that opportunity to hug him, to kiss him one last time, to tell him that she loves him. She said, my boy, if you live to see your father, tell him that I died in your place so that you may live. That is a faint picture of what Christ did for you and I on that cross on Friday. He died so that we may live. He died so that we will have a relationship with him. He died so that we may live forever. That is the love of God for you and I. And that took place on Friday. But how? Listen carefully. How would we know that that actually was achieved for us? Something must have taken place on Sunday. The resurrection is the evidence that what started on Friday was completed for you and I. I'll take you to 1 Corinthians 15. I'll read a section of this chapter. Verse 3 and 4. For what I receive, I pass on to you as of first importance. This is Paul telling the people around 20 years after the resurrection. Paul would say this is of first importance. This is very important. That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. That he was buried. That he was raised on the third day according to scriptures. You see, Paul is saying this is important, that he died, but he came back to life. And that resurrection is proof that what he did on Friday was important. Verse 14, Paul in the same chapter would say this, and if Christ has not been raised, in other words, Christ died and never came back, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. Verse 17, and if Christ has not been raised, in other words, he died and never came back, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. But he ends that chapter by saying, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. He has been raised from the dead. Can you see what Paul is doing there? If Christ never came back from the dead, in other words, he died and that was it, then what he started on Friday was never completed. Theologically, when he said that it is done, it is completed on that night, it wasn't really completed. It was only completed when he was rose from the grave. That whatever he had to do for you and I was achieved on that third day where he rose in glory. That means that our faith, our hope, our trust in him is based on the resurrection. That's what Paul is saying. If there's no resurrection, that our faith, our hope, our trust, it's pointless. My preaching is pointless. What I do as a pastor is pointless. But I believe, and you believe with all your heart, that he rose from the grave. Therefore, we have this faith and hope in him. That the transaction of Friday hinges on the resurrection of today, which is Sunday. Everything that he did for you and I on Friday hinges upon today. That's why it's a great day. That's why it's a very, very great day. I love it how Paul would say, if he did not come back from the dead, then our preaching is useless. Our faith is useless. What is this faith? What is this Christian faith? It is this faith that you and I, we are all sinners. That if we were to stand before a holy God, we have no chance. How can a holy God deal with unholy people? He wouldn't want anything to do with us. He is a perfect God, imperfect people. He's a righteous God, unrighteous people. Why would God want to do anything with us? We've got no chance to stand before a holy God. But our faith is this, is that Jesus would take away all our sins, all our past sins, the present sin, the future sin. He would wipe them all clear so that we can stand before this holy God and know that there is peace, know that there is hope, know that there is love, and fear does not exist. That is our faith, that we place it upon what Jesus has done for us on that cross, that we can meet him one day. If he was to appear right now, for those who put their hope in Jesus, their faith in Jesus, you know there'll be no judgment. You know there'll be no condemnation. You know there'll be no fear. You know you receive grace and love and joy and peace. That's the hope. That's the faith that we have in Jesus. He forgives us. He's forgiving us right now. For those who know him, for those who put their faith in Jesus, you know that your sins of the past, it's wiped clean. You know that your sins of today and tomorrow, cleared. Therefore, when you meet him face to face, there is nothing stopping you between you and him. It reminds me of a funny story of a Filipino Catholic priest. He's in the Philippines and he's got a very small congregation. And he's been the priest of this parish, not for that long. He's a bit of a rookie pastor, a bit like me. And he's done this really horrible sin when he was still at Bible college. And it's a sin that he just can't get over it. He knows in his head that, yes, God has forgiven all his past sins, but deep down in his heart, he still can't get it. And there's this lady in his church. She's got that prophetic edge. She's the prophetic lady. And she's the one who claims to dream, and in her dreams and vision, Jesus would visit her and talk to her. And Jesus would reveal all these mysteries to her, secrets. And of course, the priest is a bit skeptical. He says, well, the next time Jesus visits you, ma'am, can you ask Jesus that sin, the sin that I committed when I was at Bible college, thinking that, you know, she would never know. And she agreed. She said to him, yes, Father, when Jesus visits me next, I will ask Jesus to reveal and disclose the mystery of your sin when you were in Bible college. A few days has passed by, and he's a bit anxious, a bit nervous. He happens to see her at the Sunday service, and he grabs her aside and says, so, did you have that dream? Did Jesus visit you in the dream? Did you ask him about the sin your father, your priest committed when he was in Bible college? And she said, I did. And Jesus came to visit me. And I asked him about your sin that you committed when you were in Bible college. Of course, the father now, he's a bit nervous now. Of course, he asked her, So, what did Jesus say? What did Jesus tell you? The sin, what was it? And she said this. Jesus said, I don't remember anymore. I've forgotten his sin. You see, the Bible talks about how he remembers our sin no more. Maybe right now you've done something in the past where you go, I can't see how or why Jesus would forgive me. I'm so sinful. Let me read you a few passages. Psalms 103:12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgression, which is our sin, from us. Jeremiah 31. For I will forgive their wickedness and I remember their sins no more. That is achieved upon the cross. That all our sins have been wiped clean so that we can be in relationship with Jesus. That we can be in relationship with this great God because the sins have been wiped clean. That's wonderful. But let me say this. If the resurrection never took place, our faith, what does Paul say, is useless. We are still in our sins. But because of the resurrection, that is our proof. That is the evidence that we have been forgiven. We've been set free. That's the joy of the believer. That is the joy for you and I. That the transaction of Friday hinged upon the resurrection of Sunday. So what is the resurrection has to do with you and I? Why am I talking about this? What has it got to do with you and I? Well, let me explain this to you. That maybe this morning, some of you are still not convinced. Maybe this morning you still think that this Christianity thing is just some kind of a fairy tale. It's not real. Well, I want to show you a few things. You know, in the Bible, when Jesus came back from the dead, he appeared to his disciples. And some of them doubted. So if you're doubting this morning, it's okay. Because even the disciples, his closest, doubted. Remember Thomas? Thomas was the one who doubted Jesus. He saw Jesus and he still wasn't convinced. So what did he request to do? He wanted to what? Use his finger to touch the marks, the place where the nails were pierced into him. And after touching, he believed. He believed. He doubted, then he believed. There is a letter that Paul would write in 1 Corinthians. And in his letter, what Paul would do is say that Jesus did not only appear to the disciples, he appeared to some 500 followers. Now this letter was written probably 20 years after the resurrection. And he said in the letter, some of these people have died, some are still alive. Go and find them. In fact, Paul would say, I'll tell you where they are. In this town, that town. Go and find them and ask these 500 people if they really saw the resurrection. Paul was so confident that these 500 people saw Jesus alive after 3 days in the grave. And he would say, go and find these people. Talk to them. Defending the resurrection. Now, in addition, you think about this. If Jesus never came back from the grave, why would these disciples give up their life for the gospel? You know, all the 12 disciples and the early Christians, the forefathers of the faith, the majority of them died. They died for their faith. Obviously, if it wasn't real, if Jesus never rose from the dead, then why would these people die for something that's not real? Remember Peter? He was the guy that was a bit of a coward. He was the guy that, you know, denied Jesus 3 times on Friday. Bit of a coward. Oh, I don't know that Jesus. I'm not one of his followers. Please leave me alone. Running off into the darkness. That was Peter. 3 days later, the same Peter met this risen Jesus. And can you remember what happened a few weeks later? The same Peter who was a coward is now courageous, would stand in front of the thousands and preach the gospel message and say things like, it was you who killed him. It was you who crucified him. Therefore, he is alive. Believe in him. Put your hope in him. That's Peter. The guy who was a coward became courageous. Why? The resurrection. I don't know the actual statistics, but around 2 billion people today follow Jesus. That's a lot. 2 billion people around the world today follow Jesus. And if this resurrection thing wasn't real, I don't think 2 billion people will follow Jesus. You are evidence that the resurrection is real. So what has that got to do with you and I? It's this. That on that wonderful day when he appeared to the hundreds, when he came back from the dead, those who doubted on Friday received him on Sunday. They saw the resurrection and they believed in him and their lives were completely changed. They were now people with a future hope. People now with a different perspective to life. They were now people with a personal relationship with God. They are now people with an abundant life. They are now people with everlasting eternal life. Those people saw the resurrection, saw Jesus, and they believed. But on the other hand, however, there were some who chose not to see the resurrection. They didn't believe in the resurrection. Their lives weren't changed. And today, there are still people who do not want to believe in the resurrection. Their lives are the same. Their perspectives are the same. Their hope has not changed. This is the good news, that we can doubt him on Friday, but we can receive him on Sunday. The resurrection is for you, for me. For those who know Jesus, for those who love Jesus, may you leave this place being excited, loving Jesus more, knowing that what started on Friday was accomplished because of the resurrection. For those who don't know Jesus, the invitation is for you to believe. To say, yes, I want him. Yes, I want to put my hope, my trust, my faith in him. I want to believe. I choose to believe. I believe in my heart that he is alive. I believe that he died for me. I believe that in 3 days after his death, he rose for me. I believe that I have been forgiven. I believe that I can have a relationship with him. That invitation is also for you. The resurrection is also for you, that you can believe. Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's for you as well. If in your hearts of hearts, you believe that he died for you, he rose for you, you have this relationship with him. My prayer for you is that if you don't know him, you would continue to keep exploring him, so that one day you would really experience him, and believe in the resurrection, and that you too will be in this relationship with him. You too would know that your sins have been forgiven. You too would know that you have this hope and joy in him, that there is no fear but love in God. The resurrection is important because it's a reminder that what started on Friday was accomplished. He accomplished his mission, Jesus. To be born into this world, to live a perfect life, to die for us, to take our sin once and for all, forgive us, and give us his righteousness. And in 3 days he rose as evidence that it was all done. And if you believe, that's for you as well. Let me pray for you. Jesus, thank you so much that the tomb is empty, the task completed. You are alive. We have been forgiven. We have been set free. Thank you so much that you rose from the grave. that we worship you as a living God. A living God. Not a dead God. A living God. Thank you so much that your resurrection is a reminder for us that what you started on Friday is done. Completed. And I pray right now, God, for those who know you, for those who have experienced your love, those who believe in the resurrection, I pray, Lord, that their lives will continue to be radically changed for your glory. That they're living for you and not for themselves. Lord, I'm praying, Lord, that their lives will just be this aroma of worship to you. That people will come to know you through them. That they are loving people, generous people, forgiving people, kind people, gracious people. I pray that you continue to do that work in them. And for those who may not know you yet, oh God, I pray that you will open up the eyes of their hearts to receive you and believe in the resurrection and believe that you rose for them. You rose for them. So church, I'm going to ask right now. And I do this because I believe that God is working in your hearts. If you've been coming here for the last few weeks, few months, and this morning it makes sense. This morning you feel that yes, he died for me and he rose for me. And I believe, I choose to believe. My eyes have been opened up that he is my God. My sins have been forgiven and I believe. If that is you this morning, and you're saying, Pastor, I believe. I want Jesus in my life. Can I ask you to raise your hands right now? So I know who you are, so I can pray for you. Is there anyone here this morning who says, yes, I believe. I was doubtful on Friday, but today I believe. I believe. Is there anyone here? Is God speaking to you right now? Is God speaking to you right now? Is God saying, that's you? Is there anyone? That's fine. Whenever you are ready, you let me know or one of the leaders know, because we want to rejoice with you. We want to champion you. We know that God is working in your hearts. We know God is slowly drawing you closer to him. And I understand that sometimes it's a bit awkward, but that's fine. Whenever you're ready, you let me know. Because I want to rejoice with you. I want to rejoice with you. For those who already believe, my prayer for you is that you will continue to live for his glory. My prayer for you is that you would leave this morning so excited, knowing that he rose for you. That his resurrection was to achieve the work on Friday. It is completed. It is done. We are forgiven. We have been set free. We've been set free. God, thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you so much. Thank you for your death, for your resurrection. Hallelujah. Sun Life Church, will you be upstanding with me as we just respond, as we worship Jesus.